Hey, everybody. One of the number one questions that I get on this show, whether they come in via Instagram or Facebook, or some of you Google my name and find my email address, is, Adam, how can I increase capacity? I don't know where to start, or I feel like I know where I should start, but it's so overwhelming. I don't know where to begin. I understand that. I've been there. I've taken the personality tests. I've taken the gift surveys and was like, oh my goodness, there's so much that I've got to fix. I don't know where to begin. And you can kind of feel overwhelmed and you kind of get stuck there. And that's not a lot of fun. So I have found the Christian Leader Community Coaching program is absolutely incredible. I've joined there with my friend Ryan Franklin, who's actually on the show today, along with a whole bunch of other leaders from across the world. And Ryan's put together an incredible program where you can watch videos, you can interact with other leaders, and you can even take part in community coaching calls. Because one of the most important things as a leader, a truth that I've just incorporated into my life is this, and that is, I don't want to grow alone and I don't want to lead alone. And so I want to invite you to join me and let's grow together. Let's increase capacity together in 2024. You can visit ryanfranklin.org/Adam Shaw to learn more. Without any further ado, let's jump into today's show. My name is Adam Shaw, and this is The Restoration. Well, howdy, everybody. Thank you again for joining in with us today. And so glad to have Ryan Franklin on the show again. I think this is interview number two. And I think you've been on one other show, the YM Leadership Podcast as well. So this is our third time sitting down in a podcast studio together and talking about life and leadership. And thank you so much for being on The Restorationist today.
Yeah, Adam, I really appreciate you allowing me to be on again, and it's such an honor to be with you and your audience.
Well, today's subject, you and I have become friends, so we connected over your Christian Leader Blueprint. I went to your website, I took the study, we actually started interacting before then, I think via email, and then we had a phone call a few years ago, and over time, we've become friends, and I'm a huge believer in you and what you're doing, and it's helped me so much. And, you know, one of the big concepts that I have taken away from your material and your incredible book is how important it is to have a community around you, and to have a life team, and to have people that are in your corner.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could just share with us from your experience as an executive coach and a leadership coach working with leaders all over the globe, why is it so important that leaders develop a life team or build a community around them for support?
Well, let me start off by just saying this, Adam, that many leaders are good at giving care, especially church leaders, giving care, giving empathy to others. Most of them are highly compassionate. If they're not compassionate, they have the Spirit of God within them that makes them compassionate. But they often struggle to allow others to give to them. And it's amazing to me how many leaders go through life, they're surrounded by people, especially pastors, surrounded by people, yet they still feel so lonely. And I've heard it said many times that it's lonely at the top. And though this is definitely true for many leaders out there, it doesn't have to be that way. And in fact, for a leader to thrive in this day and age, it is vital that he or she develops significant relationships in their life. And in the midst of our failures and our flaws, you know, Adam, we as leaders, we need people in our lives who accept us without judgment. And so This is where having a community of people around you, like a support team or a life team, is vital to healthy leadership and healthy life.
You're so true on that. I remember kind of just after some of our conversations, kind of sitting back and reflecting at kind of, because every leader's got them, my own insecurities and gaps. And, you know, if people aren't, if you're not comfortable with calling them insecurities, you just have this, you have this, this like empty cup in your heart as a human being. And it's so important that if you're going to be the kind of person who says, my life, my vocation, my purpose is going to be in some way pouring out into others. We got a lot of church leaders on the show. We've got people that are not church leaders. They're involved in other forms of leadership, but still, because all of us are followers of Jesus here on that, that listen to the show, this is a, you know, very, very bold in our proclamation of being Christians, being followers of Jesus, being spirit-filled people, that we're always pouring out if we're a person of influence. Yeah. And one of the things that I just was so struck by a little while ago is that for a large portion of my life and leadership, because I wasn't being intentional with my community, I was looking to the people that I was leading to fill the emptiness in my heart. And while it's really nice and beautiful to be loved and affirmed by the people you are leading, that actually puts you as a leader in a really dangerous position. And more importantly, it puts the people that you are leading in a dangerous position, because there's times where I wouldn't tell people the truth. I wouldn't lie to them, but I would hold back on what I felt because I didn't want them to be mad and I didn't want them to not like me.
Yeah.
I didn't want to leave my church or leave my youth ministry. And so there were accountability conversations that I'm just being vulnerable here that I probably didn't have.
Yeah.
Because I was like, man, if they'll be upset and they'll leave. I made it about them leaving the church and, well, I don't want them to be lost. But really what it was about is I didn't want them to leave me.
Yeah.
And that is, looking back, that is absolutely the wrong perspective to have, because love tells people the truth. Any other thoughts on that before we jump into the next question? Launched right in there.
Yeah, and it is a dangerous place, Adam. You named it correctly. Yeah. It's a dangerous place for people, but specifically for the leader, because it puts them in a place of where they're needing support, needing relational nutrients, needing affirmation from situations that are not going to be the most prevalent, the most, consistent place in your life and the most healthy place in your life. And let me just say this, even Jesus had a support team. He had a group of emotionally safe friends that knew him and that embraced everything about him. And you know, even though Jesus didn't have any quote-unquote weaknesses, he still was transparent, and he was open to a few select people. And Jesus ministered to thousands. He was followed by a few hundred. He discipled 12, but he had an inner circle of three. There's a scripture. Let me pull it up real quick. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." So Simon Peter, who was part of that inner circle of Jesus, said key words that perfectly fit in the mix of having a personal support team around you, having that community of just key people around you. He said, unfeigned love, and love one another with a pure heart fervently. And so with all sincerity and enthusiasm, we're instructed, Adam, to love and support one another.
And so we've kind of touched on it already, that some leaders, that they don't do that, or they haven't taken time to build that leadership community, and there are some dangers that are associated. So we've made the case that hey, this is really, really good for you. You need to, even the example of Jesus, who, I mean, you can't get any better
right
than God incarnate in flesh. But as a man, Jesus wasn't God feigning humanity. It was God as humanity, had a inner circle of people that he was really close to and was at times very vulnerable towards, mm-hmm. like in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying and he's like, he kicks these dudes awake. He's like, can't you jokers pray with me for 1 hour? Like that's,
right.
that's vulnerability right. to kind of be like, I can't right now. There's a part of my, like I'm falling apart. Can you pray with me because of the cup that I'm about to drink? Yeah. This is a strong case that you've made, but I want you to not just talk to us about the positives, Ryan. I want you to talk to us about the dangers of leading alone. So we see this like, hey, this is the example of Jesus. You need people in your life. But what are some dangers to the people that are like, hey, you want to know what? I'm too busy. Mm-hmm. I don't need to invest in relationships that feed me. I just need to get it done. I just need to make it happen, rise and grind, all that, you know, kind of stoic philosophy stuff that can eke its way into leadership. What are some of the dangers of leading alone?
So when we don't embrace consistent and life-giving relationships in our life, and again, I don't mean people you're leading. I mean people that are peer relationships, maybe even a mentor relationship, but particularly peer relationships. When we don't embrace consistent and life-giving relationships, it can lead to all sorts of emotional, spiritual, and even manifest physically struggles in our life. And so when people struggle to relationally connect, and they starve themselves of key relational nutrients, many times this is what leads to those overwhelming feelings of burnout. It will lead to anxiety and stress that's unnecessary and eventually lead to feelings of burnout. And one of the most consistent issues that I see with leaders is a sense of stress and anxiety that eventually leads to this physical and emotional burnout. And unfortunately, there's probably people that are listening to this right now that are feeling this type of stress and anxiety right now.
Absolutely.
Because, Adam, I know burnout is sort of a buzzword these days, but it is a real thing. And I feel sure that the greatest reason that people are feeling this burnout for long periods of time is because of their lack of relational support in their lives. I feel sure that that's the greatest reason.
Yeah, I mean, how many times, like let's just be real right now. Like how many times have you and I been in different rooms where, you know, both of us are heavily involved in church ministry. We've been in rooms where we're going, hey, where's, you know, so-and-so, where's pastor this guy or that person?
Yeah.
And we go, someone goes, oh, hey, didn't you hear they're out of the ministry. Their marriage is falling apart. And then invariably there's like these almost character assassinations that have happened, or somebody, they've walked away from theological or biblical truth and they have made shipwreck of their life, or they've made shipwreck of their marriage and the relationships. And then the character assassinations happen.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, maybe he never really believed the truth, or, you know, I always had questions about that guy. And, you know, hindsight is always perfect 20/20 when we're dealing with this. And sometimes it's people can be made to feel good about themselves by chucking somebody else under the bus, mm-hmm. and be like, well, you know, they were never really this, or they never really that. They always told these types of jokes, or they always were that kind of person. And the fact of the matter is, none of those accusations are true. What happened was they worked really hard and they gave so much and they had no friends.
Yeah.
And they got lonely and they crashed.
Yeah.
And so, that's one of the things that go ahead. Sorry.
I just want to pause you there and just say that a lot of times when we're tired, exhausted, stress is high, one of the things that most people do, not everybody, but most people do, is they detach from relationships. Like they withdraw They go in themselves because they just don't have the energy to defend themselves and interact well in relationships. And that's one of the natural things that people, you know, maybe from their childhood of origin or different ways they've learned that, but they just withdraw. And all that does is, yes, they get maybe physical rest, but emotionally, it takes them a lot longer to come out of those lonely places and stressful places and emotional downturn.
And so do the type A people that are listening. So the high nurturing, high emotionally intelligent, relational people, you're probably already grabbing onto this, but then there may be, you know, that super type A driven person. You're listening to this and you're saying, man, that sounds touchy-feely to me. I just want to get it done. what we're saying is, if you want to get it done, you need to have a tribe. You need to have a community.
Yeah.
Around you. Like, this is a tactical, this is an emotional, touchy-feely, I need a shoulder to cry on, alone type of decision. This is a tactical decision that if I am in the fight, if I am trying to get things done and I'm experiencing setbacks, opposition, that I have got to have a place and I have got to have a group of people that I can fall back on for support so that I can get patched back up to jump back into the foray and back into the fight. Because the cost of going alone is that you'll never reach your objectives. You'll never accomplish your vision.
Yeah.
And you'll burn out and your most important relationships will suffer. I guess my follow-up question, Ryan, is given both the benefits that you can have people who pour into you,
mm-hmm.
you're able to experience, you know, some support, and then the dangers of, hey, if you try to go the lonely route, you will burn out and you may actually lose the very things that you're trying so desperately to build. Why do so many, like, because I referred to it just a second ago, Ryan, like we've been in the rooms where people were there a year ago and they're not there anymore. And we could point to some catastrophic failure that's taken place in their life, that if they would have had a community, that it would have been different. So my question is, I mean, you're the leadership expert. You're the guy who went to the Townsend Institute and got the master's in pastoral care. I'm just, you know, here in my basement in Canada. So why is it that if this is the risk and rewards, why do so many people go the lonely route?
Well, let me explain a little, and I've already mentioned this, but I'm going to reemphasize it. We're really good, Adam, at showing love and care and empathy to others, especially as Christian leaders. Yet, we rarely allow others to come in close and show us that same love and care. And most people generally, they don't realize that it's the process of this reciprocal love and care that's going to keep us from those feelings of burnout or to help a person recover from an emotional whatever may be going on in the world. You see, burnout is just a symptom of a deeper rooted problem that can usually only be addressed by receiving these key relational nutrients from safe people in our sort of our inner circle. And the fact of the matter is that we all tend to distance ourselves relationally from people at times. And there's lots of reasons why we would avoid this needed relational support. And some are more serious and more complicated than others. Some requires more expert help than others. But a very common reason that I see in churches especially, is that we don't like to be perceived as needy. And
I just wrote down it's kind of happening off camera because of how our webcams kind of squished together here in this format. But I just wrote down be needy.
Yeah.
I was about to ask you, unpack that for
well,
us.
Well, when we ask,
we're afraid to be needy.
Yeah, we don't want to be perceived as needy. So when we ask for relational support, if I were to ask you for some sort of support relationally, it just, it feels needy. And we all, every one of us knows someone who is so needy that everyone runs from them, right? We see them coming through the doors of the church or our organization, and we quickly find someone to talk to, or we duck out, we go to the restroom, and we go any direction except towards that needy person. And Adam, just admit it. You know what I'm talking about here. You've done it.
Yes. Yeah. I can think of. Yeah. Anyway, let's keep going. Let's keep. I'll stop talking.
But no one really wants to be labeled or even perceived as that needy person, because these are the people who give the word needy a bad rap. And here's the problem with that. It is impossible. It's impossible, Adam, to build an inner circle of safe people, a community, if we don't allow others to truly know our vulnerabilities and our needs. It's impossible. And so—
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll let you finish in a moment, but it was like, when you said be needy, and we don't want to be perceived as needy, the thought just jumped in my head. Well, you are. Everyone is. We're not self-sufficient beings.
Yeah.
And so you already are.
Correct.
Needy.
Correct.
It's just whether or not you're going to admit it and then go to the right sources, as opposed to like getting upside down in your life and reaching out to toxic coping mechanisms.
Exactly.
Because you are needy. Like, you just got to come to grips with the fact that as a leader, you are needy. And so you have to address those needs. So go ahead.
I think you said the key word there that you have to go to the right sources.
Yeah.
And so now you have to understand that this was a foreign concept for me for most of my earlier years of life. And I would guard myself from anyone seeing what was truly under the surface of my life. And there's no doubt in my mind, Adam, that this has limited my ability to get close to people through the years, to get my own needs met. And Christian leaders are usually really good at helping others and meeting the expressed needs of other people. Because it brings fulfillment to us, Adam. It brings satisfaction. I love to help other people. But we have to allow people to give to us as well. And if we're going to have life-giving relationships, it's vitally important for every one of us to be needy as well and to show that neediness. We are needy, as you mentioned, but we have to show that neediness. And we have to share our needs in a reciprocal way. We give, but we also have to receive. And the Bible is full. It's full of examples of our need for others. Genesis 2:18. It says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him.'" So this this scripture is often used in the context of marriage, obviously. Yet the crux of this scripture is that man nor woman should ever be alone. That's the crux of the scripture.
And that's hardwired by design. I think that's important to point out. Like, this is, you know, without, you know, delving into theology in a Bible study, like this is pre-Adamic fall. Like, this is pre-talking snake, bad fruit. Everybody realizes they're walking around naked. Like, this is hardwired into the plan and purpose of God. So it's not that you are broken and messed up and dysfunctional because you have relational needs.
Yeah.
It's you were made with relational needs that can only be filled by other people.
And let me just pause you there and say, there's a lot of people that think that they can get everything they need from their prayer life, their relationship with God. And let me tell you this, you can. God can supply everything that you need, but his answer many times is through a relationship. And it's very evident all throughout Scripture of how he has developed that in our lives and has sort of made that a requirement. We need God, but we also need others as well.
Well, and I think, and I want to ask a follow-up question on what we've talked about, a lack of willingness to be needy as one potential reason why leaders choose a lonely route. And I wonder if you have any others to think of in just a moment. But before you get to that, I just a follow-up comment, going back to the theology piece that you said before, God says it's not good for Adam to be alone, and makes a helpmeet for him. We have no request from Adam in the text where Adam goes to God and said, "Hey, you know, I'm an extrovert. I really would like some other people in my life." Hmm. God provided a person for him because God knew that's what he needed.
Yeah.
And Adam never asked for that, but God provided it because as his creator, he knew that he needed it. And to those that would say, "I don't need people, me and God are enough." Well, there was an unfiltered relationship between Adam and God.
Yeah.
Better than what you got right now. And God's like, "Hey, I want you to know it's not good for man to be alone. The man needs another person." So I thought of that as a potential counter to the people that say, "Hey, I just mean God. That's all I need. I'll just pray." To the Pentecostals that listen to this, if I speak in tongues loud and long enough, I'll fix all my problems. Well, I don't know. Yeah. Adam seemed to need something else too. So until we get to total innocence and unveiled relationship with God, maybe we need other people too.
Galatians 6:2, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We need Jesus. That's first and foremost. But God designed it that we also need one another as well. And so in the midst of our failures and flaws, I'm a very flawed person. I fail all of the time. But in the midst of my failures and flaws, I need people in my life who accept me without judgment. And Adam, the bottom line is that we need to need.
Yes. What are some other reasons? So we've talked about the neediness component, but what are some other reasons? And maybe the neediness is the big and only thing, but what would be some other reasons why leaders would have barriers up to prevent them from building an intentional community in their life of fellow leaders that can pour into them?
Well, and the overarching thing is that yes, there are certain things in our life that we need, and people just don't realize. I think a lot of times we underestimate the value of simple relational nutrients in our life, like acceptance or validation or encouragement. You know, as a pastor, for most of my life, people would come in my office, they would sit down and ask for my advice, or they want my perspective, or they want to be challenged, or they want, you know, maybe I have to confront someone. They want they want me to provide reality to them in some form or fashion. And they miss the fact that a lot of times at the core of what they're asking, they just need validation. Or they just need acceptance. They need connection without judgment. A lot of times they know the answer, but they just don't understand the fact that they need me to be present with them more so than they even provide reality. And so really, I think probably the second most glaring issue, the barrier that people would have in this is that they just don't understand just how much they need those simple relational nutrients in their life. And so because of that, they subconsciously and unhealthily seek that from wrong places and wrong people. And like you mentioned earlier, from a congregation or maybe a narcissistic leader in their life or you know, in unhealthy places. And so, but if we can be intentional about getting these things that we need from healthy places, then it eliminates mm-hmm. the need to get them in unhealthy places.
And so let's kind of almost scale back to that jump back up to that first question and say, okay, you need acceptance of that judgment. You need this expression of empathy. You need that some of these relational nutrients, when you get them from a leadership community, we get that from a life team of leaders mm-hmm. that are going in the same direction. What are some of the benefits of having attachment to other people that their only reason for being around you is we're friends and we're walking shoulder to shoulder together in this and we're here for you and you're here for us. What are some of the benefits of picking up the phone, talking to a friend and receiving that empathy, care, concern that you so desperately need as a leader? What does that do to somebody? What's that practical kind of ROI that they can get from that?
I think the best way I can answer that is just to tell you maybe a little short story of maybe an example in my life. During Thanksgiving holidays, I take that week off from work and from the church, and I will spend some time with my kids since they're out of school hunting. And so day one is always good. Day two, I start feeling this pressure of, Ryan, what are you doing out here? You need to be working. Why are you out here having fun? And so this same thing happened this past Thanksgiving holidays in the States. And so I could feel myself emotionally sort of spiraling. Like I could hear my grandfather in my head saying, Ryan, you need to work hard. You're never going to amount to anything if you don't work hard. And I could feel this depressive sort of feeling coming over me. And I knew what it was. I knew exactly what it was. But I needed to hear from somebody close to me, somebody that I trust their judgment about me. I needed to hear from them that, Ryan, it's okay to play a little bit. It's okay to have fun, to not work, to not be so productive for a week. And so I picked up the phone and called an individual and talked it through with them. And they just basically said, Ryan, you need to have fun. You work yourself yes. to death. You need to have fun. And Adam, in years past, something like that would have ruined a vacation for me. I would have spiraled for days. But in this case, within an hour or two, I literally came out of that depressive type feeling and was back to having fun with my kids and spent the rest of the week enjoying, didn't have the issue again. So that's just a prime example of what that support around you could do and how the emotional out of whack feelings that we all have occasionally, how we can easily and effectively come out of that when we go to someone in a needy way. And, you know, some of that is uncomfortable. That's uncomfortable to have that conversation for some people. But once yeah. you trust somebody and you've had those conversations time and time again, it doesn't feel so bad. It actually feels really fulfilling. And so I seek those relational needs and those relational deficits in a healthy way versus an unhealthy way.
And it's so true. And I've had similar conversations where I've dealt with high stress situations and I've faced severe criticism or setback, and it can kind of put you in a funk. I call myself type A adjacent. And so I don't have all of the qualities of the rise and grind, let's run at 4 a.m. people. But I'm pretty driven
yeah.
and I don't like it when things slow me down. And so anything that feels like a slowdown is so like it magnifies the disruption. And there have been times, Ryan, that I've called you and I've called, yeah. Or I've called other friends and I said, hey, listen, like today stinks because I have been sitting and I have been stewing in this, like, and it's bugging me. And I hate that because I got to do X, Y, Z. And then you said, hey, Adam, that sounds like something that's really stressful. I want you to know that that would probably stress me out too. And normalizing when you talk with people and you can normalize your experience, because that's probably for me, I can't speak for everybody, but for me to like have stress or to be angry at the saints in your church,
yeah,
or to be frustrated with fellow leaders or other people, and then to all, you know, this whole time be plagued by the idea of I shouldn't be this way.
Yeah.
This is bad. This is wrong. I should just get over it. Why aren't you over this yet? And then to have somebody come alongside you and go, you want to know what? Yeah, of course you're going to feel that way. Yeah. Hearing that you're normal, having another friend come by and be like, yeah, dude, that messed me up for a couple hours too.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you don't feel like a freak.
Well, and even if it's something, maybe you've made a wrong decision or, you know, you chopped somebody's head off in a leadership decision or confrontation or whatever, yeah, and you felt bad about it or whatever, you know, hearing that if you were to call me, for instance, and hearing that, yes, you messed up and no, you shouldn't do that again, but Adam, I still love you and I still care for you. It's connection without judgment. It's knowing that somebody is going to love me anyway through the good and the bad. That's so fulfilling. That's such a, we underestimate the power of that acceptance that we could feel in those relationships.
So I feel like we've built a case here. And we've talked about these extraordinary benefits. The number one benefit is, you know, you probably won't burn out. And burnout isn't just, I have found burnout isn't just avoided from, you know, more vacations and more expensive hobbies.
Yeah.
It comes from having people around you that can help you with that internal pressure that builds. And we've talked about the dangers of not having a team around you, and that is you could crash.
Yeah.
You could make one of those types of errors and mistakes for which it's very difficult to recover, or it takes years and years to recover. And we've addressed that, the objections. We've said, you want to know what? It's okay to be needy. It's okay to express needs. It's okay to say, I'm not going to go alone.
Yeah.
And in fact, it may be one of the most beneficial things for you. And so we've made that case. In the 37 minutes that we've been talking together thus far, that I feel like there's probably some people in the audience right now that are going, okay, where do I start? What do I do next? What are some practical ways that a leader can build a team around them? And team may even be the wrong word, because we may think of being a point leader and having people that do stuff for us. But I'm talking like that feed your soul life team, that community around you.
Yeah.
How can we go about making that happen starting this weekend, starting Christmas holidays? What can we do?
Well, let me just define a support team first.
Let's do that. That sounds great.
And Dr. John Townsend is who originally introduced this to me when I went to Townsend Institute. And it's outlined in his book, People Fuel. I have a chapter on it in my book, The Christian Leader Blueprint. But he defines a support team as an intentionally selected set of people who become your primary source for relational nutrients. An intentionally selected set of people who become your primary source for relational nutrients. And here's the problem with that we're dealing with here. It is impossible to build an inner circle of safe people if we don't allow others to truly know our vulnerabilities and our needs.
Yeah.
And so my question to your audience, Adam, would be, what's one step that you can take this week to move a little closer in sharing your personal needs with safe people around you? What's one step? and super, super important. Let me share another story with you, if you don't mind, just to kind of display this.
Absolutely, please.
One of my good friends who considers me to be part of his personal support team, he texts me late one night, one Wednesday night after he had preached, and he said, "Why do I beat myself up after a sermon?" And I was literally lying in bed. I got his text. This was before I started putting my phone across the room so I don't get text messages. But I was literally lying in bed and about to go to sleep. And I was exhausted from my Wednesday. And honestly, I didn't really have any energy left in my tank. And I knew that we had set an appointment. We were supposed to meet the next morning. So I just sort of bypassed his question. And I said, are you still able to meet in the morning? And he said, yeah. And I said, good, we can discuss this in the morning. And I put the phone up and I went to sleep. Oh, what a great friend, right? So in that moment, my friend just needed a relational nutrient. And it probably in reality wouldn't have taken me long. I could have called him and in 10 minutes, I could have encouraged him in that conversation. But I was too focused on how tired I was in that moment. And so I put him off to the next day. Definitely not my best moment in ministry and as an executive coach. But you may ask, as a person on his support team, what could I have said to him? And he asked, why do you think I beat myself up after a sermon? And even though it seemed like he was wanting some advice here, some perspective, in that particular moment, he didn't really, he knows, he didn't really need or even want advice or the answer to the why. Because I know him so well, I knew in that moment he really just needed somebody to accept him. He was dealing with rejection, feelings of rejection after he preached. And a lot of times preachers feel that. He just needed connection without judgment. And he had poured himself out in the pulpit. He was tired, exhausted, and he just needed somebody he trusted to give him the relational nutrient of acceptance. And sometimes even in the midst of our failures and our flaws, we just need somebody to accept us as we are. And I know that sounds overly simplistic, yet it is a very powerful and profound need within every one of us. And it actually is the greatest need within every one of us. It's the greatest need of any team, is that feeling of acceptance. So I woke up the next morning. I was rested in my right mind. I knew my friend. I knew that he just needed relational nutrients. I wish I would have helped him in that moment, but I was able to somewhat make up for it the next day. I apologized to him and then gave him the acceptance that he needed. Another friend, he considers me to be a part of his support team as well. He called me about a week later after that occurrence. And he understands relational nutrients, the concepts of that. And he said, "Ryan, thank you for taking my call. This isn't going to take long, but I really just need your help right now. I'm feeling down because I haven't made much progress on my goals these past few weeks. Can you tell me that you accept me anyway and maybe give me some encouragement here?" And so I put on my support team hat, and in a short period of time, I gave him the relational nutrients of acceptance and encouragement. He asked for that, and I gave him that in that moment. And because we have a routine, deep level of friendship, it literally took about 10 minutes. And so I had our routine once a month. We meet. We had our scheduled meeting later in that week. We met and evaluated our lives as we do often. And it was amazing the difference that simple acceptance had made for him. He was already moving forward again and accomplishing things that he needed in ministry and in life. Now, Adam, I realize that there's probably people on this call that's thinking, that sounds a little odd. And I did too at first. But think about this. We do this accidentally with people all the time. We may not recognize.
Sometimes not even with the right
exactly.
People.
Exactly.
Sometimes we use Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
Exactly.
Right.
And we don't recognize that we need it, or we may not even ask for it directly, but we do it all the time.
Yeah.
But my question is what if we have a team of people that we could get it intentionally with?
Yeah.
Because here's what I know. The right relational nutrient at the right time has such a healing power that can literally change a person's mindset in an instant. And so I just shared two stories of me providing yeah. relational nutrients. I shared another one of me getting relational nutrients with a friend. And this is the primary purpose of a personal support team. You know, at various times, I've had to call my personal support team for attunement or validation or hope or perspective or clarification, or, you know, just maybe my mind was just not in the right place and they brought some clarity to it. Any number of relational nutrients that are vital to me as a person and as a pastor. And I'm going to tell you, Adam, it's made all the difference in the world in my life.
And I've been thinking through this, and again, when we talk often, I talk about how I'm a bit of a theology wonk or nerd. I was thinking this through the lens of theology and what we're asking for from this circle of people around us is grace.
Yeah.
Great. And one of the most powerful things about grace is that grace doesn't make you want to be lazy or slack off. Grace, when you receive it from Jesus, makes you want to rise to the standard to which he has called you.
Yeah.
And when you position your heart to need and receive grace from others in various forms, it actually is a powerful motivating factor. When you figure out that your friends like you, whether or not you spent 3 weeks in Australia eating kangaroo meat and you didn't meet any of your workout goals, and you, like, let's just say hypothetically speaking, you were eating boxes of Tim Tams in the Gold Coast, and you came back, stepped on the scale, and you've told a podcast audience of thousands of people you're going to try to lose weight, and then you didn't lose any weight, and you're feeling really bad about yourself, and then you called maybe an executive coach friend named Ryan and said, I feel really bad about myself. And then you're like, hey, I think you're still a good person, even if you did eat the equivalent of 3 or 4 baby kangaroos in kangaroo meat in Australia. That, like, you can get up in the morning and go work, because it takes away, like, condemnation.
Yeah.
To feel condemned, to condemn yourself, to have that I'm a loser, yeah. I'm an awful person, I'm a failure. And grace doesn't say, well, you didn't fail.
Yeah.
Grace says, you failed, but we're good. We had a conversation about it. We're going to be okay. I still believe in you. That is so motivating.
You're so right. And scripture speaks of grace and truth. And many times,
yes.
even as individuals, because we're feeling condemned or we're feeling guilty, or we just want truth. And we call somebody, we may ask for truth, or, but the fact of the matter is we need that grace as well. We don't need only yes. grace, because only grace is going to water it down and not create growth in our life. We still need truth. That's going to help move.
Yes.
That's going to help us move the needle in our life and move and come out of those things that are detrimental to our leadership and our life. However, we don't need just truth, because that creates a legalistic way of dealing with things. But when we combine grace and truth, and we're really good at truth, we're not as good at the grace part. But when we combine grace and truth in our lives, it creates growth in our lives that is unprecedented, that's unlike any other.
And so think of this idea of this leadership community, leadership team, or life team that you're building around you as an investment in yourself to ensure that you have the emotional and if you got the right people around you, the spiritual fuel to help you accomplish your God-given vision and maximize your God-given gifts. Having this, like we talk a lot about increased capacity on the show, and I have grown more in, Ryan, and since I've met you, than in any other big span of growth in my life. And it's been because of this. No, for real. And I'm not like this is, I told my wife, I was like, I have grown more internally as a leader. I've had to deal with several very stressful circumstances. And then recently, I forgot to do a life update at the beginning of the show. Since we last talked in November, audience, I have become senior pastor of my local church. And
congratulations, pretty excited Adam. That is super exciting.
I'm really excited, but there's a tremendous amount of stress that is associated with the season of life that I'm in and just all the different things that have happened ancillary to this great new big step. Mm-hmm. That the number one way in which I've positioned myself to increase capacity is realizing that I need people just as much as people need me as a leader in their life.
Yeah.
And that's been huge. So let's shift a little bit and let's talk about this project that you've been working really hard on.
Okay.
And that we're working together on in some way. One of the reasons why I brought you on the show is I wanted to introduce the concept of your program, Christian Leader Community Coaching. We talked about at the beginning of the show. Talk to us about what that is and how this can be one of the big things that people bring into their life to have this life team and to get this leadership growth that they're so desperate to get.
Yeah.
Talk to us about Christian Leader Community Coaching.
So I started a one-to-one coaching practice quite a few years ago and was seeing significant results. But with my podcast and with different things bringing more of an audience to me, I realized that there are so many Christian leaders today that are experiencing low productivity, chaotic lifestyles in the day-to-day running of their churches and their organizations. And I could only get to a couple at a time. You know, I have a max of 10 clients at a time, and I have a waiting list. And there was just no way for me to get to more leaders quicker on a one-to-one basis. And so I started thinking about, okay, how can I scale this in a way that could really impact more Christians' lives, even make a lower price point for people, because one-to-one coaching is very expensive. But as I was continuing to see these stress levels that are unprecedented, this high discouragement, people just not confident in their plan and their methods of personal growth, and me knowing that life is too short to not maximize your effectiveness and enjoyment in leadership, and there's so many things to do out there for the kingdom of God that we just have to maximize our effectiveness. And so the Lord gave me this vision, community coaching.
Yeah.
And I've been working towards it for several years now. Launched it in October, and it has exceeded my expectations. Probably every other day, at least every third day, I'm getting an email or a DM from someone and telling me how this community is changing their lives, and I'm super excited about it. So I don't know, what direction you want to kind of unpack that, but I'm happy to.
Well, I'm a part of it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I was like, let's talk about it and on the show.
Yeah.
And it's because I'm a part of it. And it is, I'm halfway through the course that you have on, I'm probably going to butcher the title of it because I don't have it written down in front of me, but it's all about emotional regulation. And I'm working my way through, the Christian Leader community coaching, this network that you've built. It's an app that you can sign in. You've got a membership that you can purchase. And those of you that are watching online, you can increase capacity along with me. Visit RyanFranklin.org/AdamShaw. And in doing so, by using my link, you can save 50% off your first month. And there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. If you don't like it, Ryan will give you all your money back. And so you can watch a couple videos, take a course, and say, this isn't for me. And
no strings attached.
And then leave. This is really no strings attached.
Yeah.
And just for disclosure, if you use my link, it'll help sponsor this show. Mm-hmm. But the reason why we're having this conversation is not because this is a show sponsorship, but because I've been on the community coaching calls. And man, like that one that I was a part of a few weeks ago, like that was powerful.
It was a powerful session. Yeah.
Like I've been thinking about it since our conversation started, and I've teared up like multiple times. You know, it was the, go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, that's a huge piece. And you know, we jump on a call together. It may be a group of 10 to 15 leaders, and I literally coach people through. Somebody gets in the hot seat, so to speak, and I literally coach people through the barriers that they may would have in those moments, and it provides support to them. And here's the deal: I do one-to-one coaching. That's very effective. I can get very detailed with individuals and dive into some deep things. But there's something powerful about group coaching and having this community style of coaching because of all the things that we just talked about. Now, building a support team is one of the courses in the community. However, the community itself is a support. And it's amazing,
it is.
Adam, in that moment, you were on the hot seat. I was coaching you through something. And did you not feel the support of the people in the room? It wasn't just me.
Yeah.
You had others speaking into your life and providing those things for you. Was it not life-giving to you?
Yeah. I'll share as much as I can. As far as, you know, I joined the community because I've read your book. I've done the blueprint, believe in the process, believe in the system, bought a book for every member of our church leadership team. And this was the next step for me and wanted to work through some of the video courses. And this was a great way to do it. But the coaching, the community coaching calls, the ability to experience small group executive coaching with leaders from around the world and on a Zoom call.
Yeah.
I showed up having not slept, Ryan, and I may get emotional. So I apologize if you hear me like ugly crying into an expensive microphone. Just turn it down, I guess. But I had been not sleeping. I was not feeling good internally. I had a relative, very close family member that was having some health challenges that were absolutely overwhelming for me to think about. And just by the way I'm wired, I typically am the leader in a room.
Yeah.
And I had been leading and I was on empty. And not to mention, there was a major leadership transition. My wife and I were getting ready to be voted on as senior pastors. And there were other pressures happening as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I showed up and I just unburdened my heart and how I was dealing with anxiety and I was feeling pretty low and I was enormously frustrated because I felt like I should be celebrating, but I wasn't celebrating. And, I just, I wasn't accomplishing goals. I was paralyzed. I was frozen. And I was a mess, Ryan.
Yeah.
Like I was crying. I was crying in front of some people I knew really, really well and other people that were total strangers. Mm-hmm. And hearing from people say, "Hey, man, we get this." Someone jumping on the call and they said, "Hey, listen, my family member had gone through pretty serious disease. I know what it's like to feel completely paralyzed and overwhelmed by that kind of pain." Mm-hmm. Somebody else, he won't mind if I shout him out because he's known me my whole life. Scott.
Yeah.
Talks about, "I've known you my whole life and I'm going to be praying for you. And I believe in you. And I believe in this next season of your life."
Yeah.
Like it was just, I walked off that call and Ryan, I have not been that low since.
Yeah. That's the power of that community.
Yeah. I haven't. I haven't had, like, I'm talking and I wish I could share details, but some of it's quite private. So,
yeah.
But like, I want you to know, like, it's not the reason why you haven't seen as many episodes from me as normal is, like, we've been walking through it.
Yeah.
Our family is, and my wife is healthy and my son's healthy, but we have been walking through it. And along with looming transition and other external pressures, and you know, I wasn't questioning God. I wasn't, my theology was intact. I hadn't done anything stupid, or you know, I hadn't gone to the, you know, Canada now is legalizing just about every drug under the sun. So I hadn't gone to the pot store or the shroom store and made some kind of, you know, goofy mistake. But I was waking up with 1,000-pound gorilla on my chest,
yeah,
every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And like it lifted.
Yeah.
Because there were people who were around me who were on the same level as me. As the leader, I couldn't go to my team about this.
Yeah.
Cause they didn't even know what was going on,
yeah,
but I was able to go to other people and they like pulled me out of that pit. And I'm not saying every leader here is riddled with anxiety and feels like their life's falling apart like I did that particular morning, but I want to let you know, like, the courses are really good and the small group material is phenomenal. And having the happy Monday morning messages from you, Ryan, when I wake up in the morning, I see that I'm like, oh, okay, better put in something. This week I'm going to do, and then you say a goal out loud and that like lives inside your head, yeah, every time you want to hit the snooze button and not go in your basement, lift heavy stuff over your head. But it's like having that, the community of people around you, this life team stuff we've been talking about. So like, if you're a pastor, like if you're a senior leader, if you're outside of church ministry and you've got some sort of business and there's pressure, this is what you need.
Yeah.
You need people, the conversation. I know I've talked too much, but
and let me just mention this, the support. I mean, I couldn't say it any better than what you just said. That is support at its best. But also if you never engage in a community coaching call or Zoom call and engage in any of that, just the courses and the application guides, the self-assessment, which is free on my website as well, but it's attached to the community in that you can take the self-assessment that I've created, Christian Leader self-assessment, and it gives you exactly what courses you need to take. So you're not just entering into a community and, like, you know, you're overwhelmed by 16 courses that are in there with all these application guides and all these things to do. You can take this self-assessment and get zeroed in to exactly what you need in your life to begin growing in. And I would say that if you don't have a personal growth plan, you need to do this, because yeah, I can promise you, if you just take that self-assessment and do what it tells you to do, you are going to change your life. You're going to level up your leadership in a way that you can't in any other way. And then as Adam, as you mentioned, there's an army of people there already that are supporting you on your journey. I love these people. We've only been together for a few months. I launched it in October, but we have some phenomenal people in this community.
Absolutely.
You know, that are just there and support you and are willing to encourage you and be there for you, provide those relational nutrients that we may would need. So,
and again, it takes the thinking out of it, right? Because it's like the amount of, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm getting hundreds a day, but often I'll get emails, text messages, Instagram messages. People track me down that listen to the show from across the world, and they've said, "Hey, look, I'm captivated by this particular leadership concept. Where do I start? How do I do this?" And you know, you can get all the book lists in the world, and you can just try something. But one of the things that's great is you take this free leadership assessment that you have on your website. It tells you exactly where your bigger gaps are, and then on the basis of that, in the leadership community, you can start exactly where you need to start. And so you can take the thinking out of your personal growth. Take that paralysis of analysis of, oh my goodness, where do I start? How do I start? You know, where does this all begin?
Yeah.
You put that all together, Ryan. You've got all this leadership expertise. And what I love about the Christian leader community, and we'll wrap up in a few moments, but there's a lot of different kind of leadership resources that I subscribe to. And there's one that I looked at recently that was great. It was promising me to be able to increase my church income by 33%, mm-hmm. and how to increase some attendance. There's a lot of stuff that was out there that was methodological, that was going to give me better techniques, give me preaching cheat sheets, all those types of things. And there's very few things out there that are like, hey, who we need to work on is you. And that's what this does.
Yeah.
It's like, it goes, if you get better, everything else is going to get better. Like everything else is going to improve.
Your home life. This is not just your leadership role. This impacts impacts every area of your life. And here's the deal. If you have a team, if you're leading a team, I've got team components to this community that, let's say you have 6 people on your team, your leadership team, or 10 people on your leadership team. You can all join. You can have your own private group within the community. I've got resources that will help you sort of graph the needs of your team within the community. There's a lot of team components. So whether you're doing it as an individual or you're doing it as a team, it's all there and ready for you.
So let's talk about how people can sign up. And we've put it on the lower third here. You can go to ryanfranklin.org/Adam Shaw and you press the join now button. Mm-hmm. And if you press my join now button, you get 50% off your first month. Even if you're like, hey, I'm going to buy the whole year and I'm going to make the extra investment. And that way I know, because sometimes if you make an investment into something, if it costs you, you're going to follow through. Yeah. And so even if you buy the 12-month package, which I really think you should, if you have the financial ability to do so, you will save 50% off that first month anyway. That's
right.
And that's what, $32.50 or $32 and
correct.
Change? Is that right? But walk us through that whole process. Because someone's going, hey, I need a leadership community. I'm tired of going alone. I want to grow. I want to take the thinking out of it. I'm tired of trying to come up with my own growth plan. Ryan, I want to buy into this system so that my character and my heart can get better and then I can find fellow leaders around as a result.
Yeah.
Adam, I want to increase capacity with you, so I'm going to join in this too. What's the next step?
Well, and I would love to give you some elaborate method of what the next step is, but the next step literally is visit ryanfranklin.org/Adam Shaw. Hit the join now button. You can review what's on there if you would like the page, but hit join now and it'll take you to a community page where you enter your information, and literally within 5 minutes the onboarding process is done. Over the next few weeks, you will receive some automated emails that'll help you set up and kind of get started in the community. But it literally is that simple. I mean, we're literally within 5 minutes, you could be in the community and resourcing from the community. And Adam, I just want to reiterate, there is no risk. If for some reason you don't like it, you know, I don't want anyone in there that doesn't enjoy the community. And if that's the case, ask for a refund, and it's quick. No questions asked. I'll give you a refund.
So I'd say, and everybody, we'll wrap up in just a moment, but give yourself the gift of personal growth. And in fact, give whatever you're leading. If it's your family, your church, your business, your organization, by you investing in yourself, you're blessing them. You're helping them. And so just one last time, we talk about increasing capacity on this show. I'm pretty vulnerable, but all the things that I'm trying to work on in my own life, and some of you have resounded with that, come increase capacity with me. I'm in the community. This is a phenomenal app. Unlike Instagram, you're not going to get like a reel of really great leadership feedback and then 12 reels of people falling down the stairs and then not growing. This is a self-contained app where you can interact with people. It'll have like Slack-like functionality where you can connect with other leaders as well as leadership videos that you can watch and curriculum you can go through.
Yeah, the technology, since you mentioned the app, Adam, I just want to mention that the technology is really good. You've got a phone app that has everything. You can access most everything through the phone app. You have a desktop app, several methods of getting this information. So it's easy on the go. You can watch courses, read the application guides, journal, you know, and actually process through the growth that's in the community.
Last couple of videos I watched, my wife's sister was down and they were driving through the countryside in the Canadian fall, trying to find fruit to buy on the side of the road or firewood for some bonfire that we will have in the distant future. And so I was the guy there to like lug all the things around. So I was in the back seat and they were talking. I pulled up my headphones. I fired up my app and I watched a few courses. Well, they hung out until they kicked me out of the car to go lift heavy stuff and put it in the trunk. And so you literally can grow on the go, and it's a great investment in your life. Well, listen, Ryan, I'm not going to keep you any longer. Thank you so very much for talking to us about both the Christian Leader community and also not doing leadership alone. And that's a concept we want everyone to capture from today's episode. Even if you, we hope you sign up, but even if you don't take advantage of the app and the 50% off your first month, still don't go alone. Build a team around you.
Don't do it.
Build
alone.
A group of people around you. Don't lead alone. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for being a part.
Thank you, Adam, for having me.